All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew, chapter 18. I'm going to preach a little different message tonight. I really am not trying to move you in any direction or try to get you to do anything specific here. I just want to talk with you a little bit tonight about the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to entitle the message tonight, The Lord Jesus and Children. The Lord Jesus and Children. You know, we put a lot of emphasis on the children's activities and the children's ministries here in our church. We spend a great deal of money each year on the bus ministry. We do that by design. I believe that that we have a mandate from the Word of God to go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And people ask me, preachers ask me all the time, they say, how did you get that great big old ministry? How did you all do that? Well, there's a lot of things that go into having a big ministry. And one of the things that is connected to it is that ministry's heartbeat for children. I think if a church makes up its mind that it's going to do what it can to reach the lost, and we'll start a bus ministry and work a bus ministry, God's going to bless that ministry. I believe that with all my heart. And so I was preparing one of the sermons for last week, and as I was preparing that sermon, a couple of thoughts came to my mind, and I wrote them down on a piece of paper so I wouldn't forget them. And then after I finished that sermon, I sat down and started thinking on the one I'm going to give you tonight. But I want you to look with me now at Matthew 18, and I'm going to read the first six verses of this chapter. I will lay a little historical background for you, a little context, and then I want to speak with you about the Lord Jesus and children. So if you look at verse 1, it says, At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, I think you can see, probably without me having even preached the message, just announcing to you what I'm going to preach on, you can see it right here. He loved children. But there are many places in the Scripture, and the Gospels have a lot to say about the Lord Jesus and children. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. And then you give me your ear for a little while, and we'll look at the Lord Jesus and children. Let's pray. Our Father, I ask you now to bless what I'm about to say to our hearts. Help us to see our Lord in perhaps a little different light, to see him as as he is portrayed often in the Scripture, as compassionate, as caring, as tender, as loving. And Father, I ask you to just use your word tonight to stir our hearts and help us to want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And what better way can we be like the Lord than to love the least of these? Help us, Father, to glean from the word tonight that which will benefit and help us in the ministry that you have given to us. I pray for every Carroll Christian School teacher. I pray for every Master's Club worker, for every bus captain and bus driver, and all the folks that work in Super Church and the Sunday School. Father, may we see the importance of training and teaching and loving the little children that are under our care. So, Father, bless what I'm about to say and stir our hearts with it. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. I want to speak to you tonight and show you just how precious children were to the Lord Jesus, our Savior. There were actually many times where the Gospels tell us that the Lord Jesus had direct dealings with children. In this situation that I read for you this evening, the Lord Jesus was in Capernaum, along the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples came to him and they asked a question: who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And in verse 2, we learn that he called a child to him, set that child in the midst of them, and used that little child as an illustration, used that little child as a visual aid to make the point of who is the greatest in the kingdom. Now, I'm not going to go into all of that. What I want you to look at is the obvious. I want you to notice, or what I want you to notice, is that in that crowd, there was a child there. Now, I figure if there was one, there were several, wouldn't you? But what I want you to notice is that there was a child there. You know, things were, let me say it this way, in this, whatever was going on here, things were not all tense and uptight, but everything was free and relaxed. And there were children who were not afraid to be in the room where the Lord and the disciples were. Now just think of that. I can imagine that, and I don't know, I wasn't there, and Matthew certainly doesn't tell us, but I can imagine that the children were just hanging out, playing, having a good old time. You know, there's something special about the innocence of a child. And we went to we got a gift certificate to Sakura, the Japanese steakhouse down here by Engler Road. And so we decided that we would go to Sakura for lunch today. And you know how after fella cooks the meal, he leaves four or five shrimp out, and I'm always looking at those shrimp saying, what a waste. But he leaves four or five shrimp out, and then he cuts them in little pieces, and he wants to flip them at you, and you catch them in your mouth. You know what I'm talking about? Many of you have been there. And so he went to to do that. And of course, he's slapping that spatula down, and everybody's watching him. And he flipped one to Josh, and Josh caught it. And he flipped one to Kathy, and Kathy caught it. And he flipped one to Braden, and Braden almost caught it, but then he flipped another one, and Braden caught it. And then we all were shocked. Little 3-year-old Brennan is sitting over there by Josh, and he looks at the guy, his eyes light up, and that mouth went open. And we were all shocked. We just were sitting there looking, and that guy slapped that spatula down, and he got the shrimp on the end of it, and he threw it at Brennan, and it hit him right on the lip and bounced onto his plate. Well, it wasn't there 0.2 seconds before he grabbed it and threw it in his mouth. And the guy said, "Let's try it again." That little mouth went wide open again, and this time it went in. Oh, the innocence of a child. It's just, it's amazing. A little 3-year-old opens his mouth and wants the guy to throw shrimp in it. Amazing. There might be anxiety among the adults, but the children do not share that anxiety. Children are amazing. They play with whatever is available, and their imaginations can have a good time with any object and in any situation. Now tonight, I want to show you how precious children and childhood was to our Savior. And I want to emphasize that I believe with all my heart that as long as the church tends to the needs of the children and meets the needs of the children, that church is going to have the blessings of God upon it. Folks, we've got to keep the buses running. We've got to keep the Sunday school going. We've got to keep the Master's Club on Wednesday nights up and running. We've got to keep the super church going. We've got to keep Carroll Christian Schools going. We've got to do all we can to teach and to train our children to the truths of God's Word and point them to a saving knowledge of Christ. God will bless that effort. For when you love a child, you are just about as Christ-like as you can possibly be when you love a child. Now, how did Jesus value the children? I just started thinking about it, and a couple of things came to mind. Number one, the first way I think He valued children was by the loving way in which he saw them. With a quick eye and a loving heart, he had been, no doubt, watching these children throughout the day. I don't doubt for a minute, but what he had been watching all those children that were playing, And he knew each and every one of them. One thing I think I can say without hesitation about the Lord Jesus is that he was always observant of everything going on around him. And so when the question came, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Instantly, he took a child, no doubt one that he had seen and had been watching throughout the day, and set that child before the others as an illustration and used him as an example. You can see how closely the Lord Jesus watched the world in the parables that he spoke. You see, he saw things that others overlooked, and he pointed those things out on a regular basis. And when he pointed them out, the people that heard him thought, "Wow, well, I never thought of that before." But Jesus thought of it. Jesus did, because he took the time to see it. I'm talking about the birds I'm talking about the foxes. I'm talking about the lilies. I'm talking about the seed which fell from the sower's hand. I'm telling you, folks, the Lord Jesus observed everything. He didn't miss a thing. And I think he watched even the children with the same sharp focus. There are so many incidental references that occurred throughout his ministry, which revealed to us just how closely he observed the children. He had watched a mother. What is that noise? It's a cell phone going off. Mercy. A nursery pager going off, Kelly. Oh, am I going to have fun with that? Oh, mercy. That's good, isn't it? There's the children again. Yep. I have had people pass out in the service. I have had people get up and walk up on the platform and sit down. You remember that Sunday? Oh, mercy. I'll never forget that. But that's a first. I was hoping that was the rapture. I really was. All right, let's get back to it. There are so many incidental references that you read about in the Bible throughout our Lord's ministry that reveal to us just how closely he watched and observed the children. He had watched a mother forgetting all of her troubles because her baby needed mama's loving touch. And he noticed that she forgot all of her problems and found new joy when she was meeting her child's needs. He saw the children, if you remember, playing in the marketplace. And he saw them not getting along with each other and sulking and fussing. And he recognized that behavior. He saw a boy run home from school and ask his mother for a piece of bread. And he saw mama give him the piece of bread instead of giving him a stone. And he used it in a parable. He even said the test of loyalty to him was that a man should love him more than he loves his own children. You see, all these references to children show us how dear they were to him. And I think that that is one of the striking differences between the four Gospels and the epistles that of our New Testament. You would never gather from the epistles that Paul had this great heart for children. Now, I'm certainly not saying he didn't like children. Please don't think that. I'm just wanting you to think about the fact that there is a stark contrast between the two sets of writings. And when you follow Jesus through the Gospels, you can see his love for children on just about every page. Second thing, we're talking about how Jesus valued children. Secondly, think of the access he gave them to be around him. I mean, when you think about it, they were around him often. He must have almost always had a crowd of people that followed him and were around him for the entire almost the entire three and a half years of his earthly ministry. Yet, he always had time for the children who were so often there. The Lord Jesus only had 3.5 years to do his mighty work of redemption, and so you know that he was constantly at that work. He never stopped. I think it is amazing how often you see the disciples literally passed out from exhaustion. I mean, he never stopped. And yet the thing that amazed the people was how he went on tirelessly. He had a baptism to be baptized with, yet he had time to appreciate the lilies of the field. He pressed on day and night, and yet he took time to notice the sparrow when it fell out of the sky. He had to ransom the souls of men, yet he always had time for a child. The truth is, folks, Christ was like us. You say, Pastor, how so? Well, he had time for the things that he loved. Selah. Think about it. He had time for the things that he loved. You know, I hear people say all the time that they don't have time to come to church. I've heard people say, well, I just don't have time to read the Bible. I've heard people say, I don't have time to go soul winning. But the truth is, we find time to do the things that we love. Amen. You see, it's a heart thing, not a clock thing. It's a heart thing, not a clock thing. And let's be honest about it, folks. We do what we want to do. And isn't it amazing how when you read the Gospels, and I want you to think about them now as you read them, but it's amazing how when you read the Gospels, the Lord Jesus always seemed to have children near him, and so it's pretty obvious that he loved them because he wanted them around. You see, we don't read that our Lord was upset very often, but there was one time where he got a little upset. You remember when the disciples came and scattered the kids and shooed them away and tried to get them to not to bother the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was done out of a heart for the Lord. They weren't trying to be unkind. It wasn't, something that was done in anger. The disciples were just afraid that the Lord was taking on too much and that he needed a little bit of relief from the crowd. But when they shooed the children away, the Lord Jesus rebuked the disciples and instead said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Now, folks, there is something divine about that, but there is also something very human about that. They were trying to keep from him, although they did not know it, the very company in which he was most delighted. Oh, what a clear indication of just how much the Lord Jesus loved the children. But then thirdly, I want you to think of how the suffering of children impacted him. Now, as I started thinking about the message, and I was really kind of amazed at how the suffering of children impacted the Lord. You see, he not only enjoyed watching them play and watching them scamper around, but he also loved to help them as they suffered. He jumped at every opportunity to place a healing hand upon a child. I find it interesting that there were some requests that people made to him that he disregarded their request and didn't answer it. For example, from the man who wanted his opinion on property. You remember that story? He wanted an opinion about some property, an argument between him and his brother. Well, the Lord didn't deal with that. There were some prayers that were prayed to him that he did not answer those prayers. You remember the maniac of Gadara. And he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, let me go with you. Let me go with you. And the Lord Jesus did not answer that prayer. He said to the man, no, you go back to your family and you reach them with the gospel that just redeemed your soul. But I find it interesting that he never turned down the prayer of a father or a mother who came to him with a request for a child. Now, you read your Bible and you're going to find that to be true. I had never really noticed it until I thought about it in relation to this sermon tonight. You know, whenever someone came and said, Lord, my son, or they came and said, Master, my daughter, everything else was set aside. And the needs of that child were met by the tender touch of the Master's hand. Oh, how the Lord Jesus felt the sufferings of the children. The first healing miracle he did was not on an adult, but was done for a child. The only healing miracle that he did outside of Israel's boundary was done for a teenage girl, for a young girl. Of the three recorded people that he raised from the dead, only Lazarus was an adult. The other two were children. Do you remember the Mount of the Transfiguration? And while up on the mount with the inner circle, Peter looked over and said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us build three tents and just stay up on the mountain. But the Lord Jesus could not stay, and he would not stay, because he knew that at the base of the mountain, there was a young boy who was in need of a touch from his hand. And so they did not stay on the mountain. It was as if, being transfigured, he could hear the call from this little child. Oh my, I'm telling you folks, the Lord Jesus loved those little children, especially those that were suffering. And he met their needs every opportunity that was given. And then lastly, we see his love for children even after his resurrection. Let me show you a little something. I hope this speaks to your heart like it did to mine. Go over to John 21 for just a minute. John 21. There are so many ramifications to this passage of Scripture right here. Let me give you just one little thought. I want you to look at verse 15. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter. Now this is after the resurrection. Now keep that in mind. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my, what's the next word? Lambs. Let's read on. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my what? Sheep. Well, he said lambs the first time. And then he said sheep. Look at verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. A total of three times was Peter asked and then told to feed the little ones. But you'll notice, and I don't think you can read the story without seeing a real sense of urgency in what the Lord says here. I mean, we need to look at the wording. Feed my lambs, then feed my sheep. Notice lambs was first. The little lambs, the little ones. The sheep are the adults. The lambs are the little ewes. They're the little ones. And something interesting, it was not the sheep that was mentioned first. It was the lambs that was mentioned first. The last two times the question was repeated and Jesus said, Feed my sheep. But the first time he said, Feed my lambs. And even after the resurrection, what we see here is that the children were still on the forefront of his mind. Calvary did not change his heart toward the children. It intensified his heart towards the children. After the suffering, the agony, the heartbreak of the rejection from his own, still deep within his heart, there are the little ones for whom he is looking after. You know, there are a lot of voices in our world today that are crying, amuse the children, entertain the children. But Christ's command is feed the children. Oh, folks, how we need to realize the importance of having those little ones and training them and nurturing them in the Lord and teaching them the truths of the Bible and showing them by example the tender love of our Savior, to let them know that they have a Savior who will guide their steps and lead them as they journey through life's rugged path. Tell your children, mother. Tell your children, father. Tell them, Sunday school teacher. Tell them, master's club worker. Tell them, bus captain. Let your class, let those children see and know that standing before them is a Christian who is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ and a Christian that loves them and wants them to know the truth. Oh, what a burden. What a burden should be ours for the children. Jesus had that burden. And even after the cross, even after the resurrection, he threw the children in when he was telling Peter about his job of going out and feeding the sheep. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, folks, I didn't get saved till I was 16 years old. But I remember as a third grader and a fourth grader, I remember going to Sunday school. And I remember Walt Dudley. Walt Dudley is in heaven now. But I remember Walt Dudley always wore a white shirt. And he always had a little skinny tie that he wore with that white shirt. But Walt Dudley would stand in front of about eight of us little fourth grade boys and with tears in his eyes would beg us to live for the Lord and to love the Lord with all our hearts. And I can still see Walt Dudley standing with compassion and begging us to live for the Lord. And folks, as we labor for the Lord here in these last days, let's remind ourselves often just how much Jesus loved the little ones. I'm hearing from all over the country. I'm hearing pastors telling me that they had to do away with their bus ministry. Oh, no, don't do away with the bus ministry. Whatever you do, don't abandon the bus ministry. Surely there's something else that you can sacrifice before you have to give up the children. I'm hearing all over the place. And it just grieves me. We've got to stay after the kids. And may each of us who have been entrusted with the care and the instruction of the children remember how much the Lord Jesus loved them. And may we purpose that we're going to love them just as much as Jesus did. Folks, the point is you can make a difference in a child's life. You can make a difference. Grandparents, you can make a difference in your grandchildren's lives. Mom and dad, love them. Train them. Teach them. Instruct them. Guide them. Be there for them. Let them see Christ in you. Man, Jesus saw the need. And if he saw the need and it's in our Bibles, we ought to see it as well. I'm telling you, folks, he loved him. You remember that song that we learned when we were little? Jesus loves the little children. All the little children in the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. You know, I think we've gotten away from some of that. And I think we need to get back to it once again. Oh, may God give us a heart for the little ones.